Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Hello and welcome to episode 81 of Slam Fire Radio for Halloween.
Ooh.
August 31st, 2014. Owen can't join us tonight. He's busy hiding a body. I'm Trevor Furlott.
I'm Matthew McClatchy. And this is Slam Fire Radio. I don't know. I felt like I should say that. It rolled.
I felt the same thing. I was able to jump in there, but you got there first, so that's good. So, cool.
That's sort of what I do. I don't know where I'm going with that, so I'm going to stop.
Well, technically you interrupted me, but...
That sounds perfectly normal then. Let's carry on.
We had an email into Action Shooting Radio this week, and it said something like this. It's nice to finally listen to a podcast where Trevor isn't interrupted every 30 seconds.
I remember that's hilarious. And shut up.
All right, well, let's get to what we did.
I've all right.
A few more things than you, so I'll go ahead and get it out of the way, and then, still no Owen, and then you.
Yeah, okay, so Trevor, what did you do with guns, bows, club members, stuff. Camo wrap, you know, this week?
Stuff.
And
I don't know if I owe somebody an apology or not. I was supposed to meet one of Mo's cousins lives in the area, and I was supposed to take him to the range, and we can't seem to connect, and today was supposed to be the day, but I was homesick from work, so I forgot to tell him I wouldn't be there, so I don't know if he went or not, but anyway, nothing I can do about that. You can cut that. That's gibberish.
No, it's too late. I don't cut anything. You know how it goes. So Mo's cousin, sorry.
Lives. Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Exactly that, so.
Mo has cousins. Interesting.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like the kind of person to have cousins.
I know, right?
It's weird.
So, Sunday, Bolivar and I got together finally to do a special edition for the interview for his show, Modern Rifleman Radio, and I thought it was good, so I stole it and threw up a special edition of Action Shooting Radio, and it was all about mental training for shooting sports.
Well, he certainly is mental, so it makes sense that you would, you know, do a topic like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we made the same joke about you and Owen.
Perfect. I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to hear it, and I know you won't. So
yeah, we'll see about that.
Right. So now he read the book that I sent out to him, and I sent it to Andy and
Winning in Mind.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. By Lanny Basham.
Yeah, thanks for lending that to me, by the way.
You didn't want it.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Otherwise, you would have gotten it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I have an audio copy out there somewhere in the wild that somebody needs to get back to me because I can't find mine. So, anyway, I love the book.
So not a digital audio copy because, you know, when you send those, you still keep them.
That's right.
It's like the guy that sent the fax of the picture to the person and said, could you send my picture back?
Yeah.
Just
like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
It's all right. Anyway, I've got my working copy that is all beat up, and then I have a copy that I bought when I was in Vegas a couple of years back at the World Archery Festival. Both Lanny and his son Troy were there doing they had a booth at the trade show, and I got an autographed copy as well. So, big fan of that book, With Winning in Mind. If you are wanting to get an edge in your shooting competitions, there's something in there for you that will help you. It could be, you know.
And if you're just naturally awesome like I am, you don't need the book.
That's, yeah, actually, we used. You, after your performance during the Know Your Limits drill, you really should read the book.
Yeah. Maybe.
So, we talked about that too, actually. It was pretty good. The whole thing really lent itself well. It was a great.
Well, I knew my limits.
Yeah, there you go.
So, comic relief instead.
Mental training is all about tricking your unconscious mind into moving past your limits.
I understand. So it's like serious stuff. It's not even like a comedy book.
There wasn't a joke in the whole episode.
Wow.
Actually, I did mention Brian's mom, and he did comment on that. But other than that, there was no.
Well, obviously. I mean, if you can't have Brian's mom in the conversation, then what's the point of having a show, really?
Exactly. So that's episode 30 of Action Shooting Radio. Shot my bow a little bit more. Took it outside again. And taunting little buggers. I've got the bow in the backyard. I'm shooting at my archery target, and two crows land in a tree within 30 yards just to watch me practice.
They're like, we know we're in city limits. You can't touch us.
Exactly.
And you're like, but my bow is quiet.
I'm saying to myself, where's the arrow going to land after it passes through you?
Yeah, exactly. You need one of them big blunt tip things so it just blasts it but then just falls down.
Yes. Yeah, but, you know your backstop looks beyond, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. That is for shizzle. I'm sorry I said that right away. Right away, I regret
right away,
that.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Luke is telling me about his plate carrier through text message. Not now, Luke. We'll talk later.
Yeah, yeah, Luke. Come on. Pay attention. Trevor's talking, trying to do his thing.
Speaking of Luke, he stopped by earlier in the week to bring me some screws for attaching scopes to open guns, which didn't fit. But, I think I must have given him the wrong one because he brought back duplicates of what I gave him, but they were slightly small in diameter, so that was too bad. But he gave me this cool camel wrap. It's like a 3M product. It's adhesive on one side and kind of a fiber material on the other side in mossy oak camel. And I use that to wrap the Nikon scope on my Thompson Center Venture Predator because it's the entire gun is camo dipped, and the scope was not. There was a time when you could buy them with the matching Nikon scope dipped in the same. I think it's a mossy oak camo pattern as well on my Thompson Center, but I don't remember. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Luke gave me this cool wrap, so I wrapped the scope. He brought in his M305 to show me. Oh, man.
It look good?
It looks really good.
He has the Archangel stock on his, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got the same one that Kyle has. He's got the same one that my buddy Terry has.
Same one that Owen's getting.
Yeah, it's definitely a bench rest stock.
Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of heavy then. It's not a...
It doesn't matter what you put that gun in, it's going to be heavy.
Well, I mean, it's...
Heavier. That's how...
That's true. Is this one a heavy one or a really heavy one?
Yeah. If you want your M305 to stay to be only heavy, leave it in the cheap plastic stock it comes with.
Yeah.
You know, and then even if you upgrade to the nice wood stock to make it look more like a Springfield M14, it's a little bit heavier and it just goes up from there. So
no, I'm pretty sure it's Springfield M305. I think you were on
that
there.
That's what it is.
Yeah, no, I'm sure of it.
It's the Norinco Springfield.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he's got the, he bought a Diamondback with an adjustable objective on it. Very nice glass.
Nice. Yeah, I like the Vortex optics. They work, for what you pay for them, they work really well.
Yeah. So speaking of optics, I went to the range Wednesday in the pouring rain and in between showers, sighted in I don't even know what brand it was. I don't, because it doesn't matter because it was wood and stuff, but it was a 243. And I had never shot a 243 before. So he had a 243 and a Remington Model 7400 semi-automatic 30-06.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a Facebook message and said, who in the club can sight in a couple of rifles for me?
I can. You can.
What do you charge? A case of beer. All right. So he brought me the two rifles, and I went and I started with the 243. He told me the 243 is supposed to be right on. All right. So first shot at 100 meters, nothing. Not even on the paper. Couldn't. So, all right. Bring it back to 50. Get the windage straightened out. Wasn't too terribly bad. Shot a pretty decent group at 50 and then started to stretch it out to 100. And all of a sudden, it's incredibly blurry. Like, what's going on? So I had shot less than half a dozen bullets through it when the front lens of the scope came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not generally a good thing, as I understand it.
It was an old Weaver straight power, probably a 4-power. So I was like, whatever. It's too bad because I just had two nice hits on the paper. And the scope fell apart.
And you got to start again.
Yeah. So I was able to, hey, guess what? I added a 243 to my cartridge collection this week.
There you go.
It keeps growing and growing. Todd Brown reached out to me. He commented on the picture of my cartridge collection, and like many people, he felt sorry for me because it's not so much a cartridge collection as 15 miscellaneous bullets.
Hey, you got to start somewhere. You can't start with a full collection.
I guess. So anyway, he's sending me out a handful of stuff. And,
nice.
And something from the Calgary Gun Owners Association as well. So I'm looking forward to getting that stuff.
I've got some really rare, 22 long rifle.
I have one. I don't get one, but I have one. You know what I do want, though? I want a 22 long.
Oh, I got one of those.
Do you really?
Yeah, well, it's a CB long.
I want 22 long, not long rifle.
No. It's a CB long. That's
okay.
It's not a long rifle. It's long. It's right. This, you know, a long rifle or a long case is the same length as a long rifle case. It's just the projectile's bigger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and can one be shot out of one and not out of the other? Is that how that works?
No. With 22, because they're healed bullets, you can shoot, if you have a long rifle, you can shoot anything through it. What will end up happening, because the chamber's longer, if you're shooting shorts through it, you'll just let up the front end of your chamber some.
Okay.
They don't recommend it, but it's totally safe and can be completely done. You just can't put long rifle into long or into short. It just won't fit.
Gotcha.
It engages the rifling too soon.
Okay, because I've only ever seen a 22 long once. It was my buddy Mike that used to live near me in Belldoune. We were at the range there in Medellin once.
Mm-hmm.
He had it was old school. It was a single shot. Like, it was over 100 years old.
Wow, nice.
22 long, yeah. No, it wasn't nice. It was an old gun with wood on it.
Right, sorry.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's what happened to the 243. The 30-06, he said, now the 30-06, it's got a checkered past. He got it from his uncle or his father-in-law or something like that. He told me tonight that his uncle had beat the snot out of the gun on the hood of a truck one day. So, anyway, it didn't look like it had been beaten up, but...
Was the uncle, like, frustrated or something?
I
or
guess, yeah, maybe missed.
He missed his deer?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Beat the gun up, probably because, you know, it's the gun's fault when you can't shoot, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No.
So he gave me a box and a half of shells and took one shot at paper, nothing. All right. I brought it to 25, nothing.
Really?
Yeah. And so what I did was I took we have a big roll of butcher paper in back camp that we shoot over in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Covered the entire target stand with it. I was aiming, well, it hit even low at 25. Like, it went underneath the target stand at 25. But I wasn't holding in the middle. I was holding low for some reason. I was trying something different. Like, I held high, I held low. Held in the middle, then held high, then held low to see if I could get somewhere on the
table. Just to get it on paper. Yeah, just so you know what you're working with.
So it was shooting approximately 3 to 3.5 feet to the right at 25 meters.
That's, like, not generally acceptable as good.
Yeah. So, I mean, at 100 meters, it must have been, like, what?
More.
6 or 8 feet to the right. So it took a while. I got it cranked. And, like, I went 50 clicks before.
There was enough windage in the scope to actually accommodate for that, huh?
There was. There really was, yeah. It's way in there, but there's still enough, I think, to fine-tune it a bit more. So I got it centered and then brought it out to 100, and it was like 4 inches high at 100 when I started to dial it down. It was actually, when I got to 100, it was left. And my final shot was about, my final group with the last three rounds was about a 2.5, 3-inch group at 100. So I gave it to him, showed him a picture of the three groups that I shot at 100 to show him the improvement in the group size. And then I said, you know, there's a couple of things you can do here. Clean the rifle. The rifle was dirty. The rifle was dry. Clean the rifle. Try some different ammunition. It was 150 grain. See if you can improve that. Tighten that up some. It was a mediocre scope, but whatever. So, and at the end of the day, what kind of accuracy do you expect out of a semi-automatic 30-06 Remington 7400.
Well, that's the thing. I have no idea what sort of accuracy you'd expect out of something like that. It's a semi-auto, first of all, which you're always going to get a little bit less accuracy out of than a bolt or a pump or a lever action.
After that, I broke out my TAC-21 and my Thompson Center Venture Predator. I had been doing a lot of testing in my Thompson Center with hand loads, and normally I hunt with the 45 grain Winchester white box jacket at hollow point. It seems to be the round so far. It is the most accurate bullet I put through that gun to date.
Right.
So I want to check my sight marks. I just normally have it zeroed at 200, but I zeroed it at 100 and threw it back in the case. And same with my TAC-21. I just double checked my marks at 100. That's when we were shooting at the charity shoot. I was shooting 180 grain.
Right.
So these were some. I've got some 168 and 165 Noslers that I loaded up. And I shot some of these out of it at the charity shoot as well. But at the charity shoot, I was shooting everything at 200. So I zeroed it at 100 because if all goes well, Muffin and I are going hunting in Riley Brook on Saturday morning. And I'm actually going to take my TAC-21.
What are you going after?
Whitetails.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to be just truck hunting, right? We're
going to
drive in the roads and, and the fields and stuff. And I'd like to just drop it on the hood and hopefully pop something that is, you know, 100, 200 yards away.
Sure.
See how that goes.
Hopefully it's an old truck because the muzzle blast is going to peel the paint. Well, probably
off,
not.
Maybe off the tailgate or something.
Sure.
Or maybe I'll go prone.
Hey, there you go.
So, but I think that's it. And well, sadly, I sold my Mark 18. I wish Owen was here because Owen said it's not the gun that he would have sold. And I wanted to push him on that a little bit to see if he just meant of the ARs I had or of the guns that I had. I offered him both my open gun and my Mark 18. And because they're both almost surplus to my needs, it kind of sort of, you know, it's like my NEA shoots well at 100, so it shoots well at 25.
Right.
My other gun, you know, a longer barreled gun shoots accurately at long distances and short distances, where short barreled guns shoot better at short distances than they do at long distances. There's just, you know, I've benched both my Mark 18 and my NEA and shot them with my loophole scope at 100, and I get better groups out of my NEA.
Look, I'm sort of split on it. I like the Mark 18 because it's short, maneuverable, good for close quarter stuff. But I'm also with you in the sense that I like accurate guns. And if the NEA is more accurate, that's probably the one I would have kept too. Because you're right, a 14-inch barrel is going to do better at longer distances than a 10-inch barrel is any day of the week.
Yeah. You know what I liked most about the Daniel Defense was how light it was. You know, doing the Shaw Clinic with the Mark 18 was awesome. And I wanted to get some time on my NEA, and you know why I kept putting my NEA back in the safety area?
No.
Bloody heavy.
Oh, yes.
So,
as Stan would say, grow stronger.
Exactly. You want to run your NEA? Run your NEA.
Right? Yeah.
Put your gloves back on, filthy. It's that kind of thing. Somebody should have yelled at me for putting my NEA back, but they didn't know what I was doing, right? Because I wasn't saying nothing.
That's right. Yeah, you're... So, yeah.
And as far as CQB goes,
your NEA, a 14-inch barrel is still fine. I mean, I have a 16-inch barrel on mine, and it's still fine.
Exactly.
So when you're talking like 10-inch, 7.5-inch, you're talking really, really short. You're it's like, you know, trench warfare sort of thing where you're coming around a corner and, you know, you don't have room to maneuver. But anything that we run, 3-gun, even, you know, clearing your house for fun, your longer barrel is going to work just fine.
Yeah. And I mean, well, here's what boils down to. I always had a truck or a compact SUV forever, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, I had a truck in high school. I had a truck in university. I had a SUV in university. I had an SUV when I got out of university. I had an SUV when you and I met.
Yep. I remember that thing.
When I found myself living alone for a short period of time, I needed something that was more...
economical?
More economical, easier on gas because I was driving, you know, 45 minutes to work every day.
Yep.
So I needed a small, compact, 4-cylinder putt-putt car. And I bought that car, but I didn't change my lifestyle. I still go in the woods. I still go to the range. And I've essentially destroyed that car in 2 years.
I don't think it's destroyed yet.
Well, the windshield is pitted. The paint is pitted. There's chips. When I took it into the garage, they were like, why is your back bumper filled with rocks? I'm like, why do you ask questions?
Yeah, why? Yeah, why?
You know? Yeah. So it's 2 years old, and it's got 120,000 kilometers on it.
That's a lot of kilometers.
Yeah. And I haven't, not a lot of those kilometers are hunting kilometers, so I want a truck. I'm itching for a truck. I need a truck. I must have a truck.
Get a truck.
Get a truck. So that's why I'm selling the NEA. I'm selling the Mark 18 to start a savings account. I'm going to put, I looked up hard at my budget, and I've got a number that I can put aside every month, and I will buy a new-to-me truck in the spring, hopefully in the, you know, $5,000, $6,000 range. That should get me all the truck elements.
You will get a great truck for that. My truck cost me less than $2,000.
Yeah, and you got no issues, so.
None. Well, except for breaking the lugs off today, but that was my fault.
That's your fault.
Note to self, don't over-torque lugs when putting winter tires on.
There you go. That's why torque wrenches are good.
Well, I have. See, here's the thing. The person previous to me who owned it put in cheap lugs.
Oh.
We looked at the lugs today, and they're not proper because we went to Canadian Tire to get new lugs. Yeah. Canadian Tire only had one. I need six. I didn't break six. I only broke two. But I might as well replace all six, right? But I'm going to eventually replace all 24 because it's really soft, like white metal. It's it's ridiculous. These hold on your tires for crying out loud. Anyway, yeah, the ones that I was looking at that were proper were hardened black steel. You know, they were. Yeah. Anyway, that's truck talk, not gun talk. So,
have you ever had a wheel fall off while driving?
No, but I've seen it happen.
Did.
Yeah.
I did.
Was it fun?
It was fun for me.
Yeah.
I broke my arm, and they sent me to Moncton, and there was no ambulance available, so they sent me to Moncton in the back of my parents' car. So the front end was making this weird noise the whole time, and my know-it-all father mechanic's like, oh, it's the CV boot is done, and there's dust in the joint. Don't worry, it's fine. My mother's like, why don't you just get out and check it so you'll shut us up? Let's check it, prove to us you're right, and then we'll all shut up. I don't need to check it. I know I'm right. On the way back from Moncton, the wheel fell off. Yeah, and we drove back from Moncton about halfway home on a donut with two lugs.
Yep, because it would have sheared off the other one. Oh, yeah. Man, that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, what color is his red face?
Awesome. Anyway, what did you do with guns? We're burning up valuable main topic time.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Anyway, I don't have a whole lot of... did some hunting.
Uh-huh.
Did some inadvertent hunting, actually. One day, I've been messing around with one of my 795s. I'm not messing around with Jules because she'd kill me, but with mine, I've just been tweaking some of the extractor issues, settings, I guess. I put in a stronger extractor spring because sometimes, not always, it's just I'm trying to make it a bit more reliable just because I like to mess with stuff. Sometimes if you get a dud and you go, you pull back on the charging handle...
Yeah.
The dud stays in the chamber. And so you have to take the mag out because if you just push it forward again, of course, you get a double feed. And then the second time, it usually pops out. I mean, it'll always pop out. It just sometimes it takes two or three times. So I got to drop the mag a lot. So I was like, well, no problem. I'll put a stronger extractor spring in, and that'll solve that problem. Well, boy, howdy did it. I can pull out anything now. But now it isn't cycling properly. So I've been messing around with that. Just trying to adjusting the spring tension and stuff. I know I can get it back to running 100% just by putting the factory spring back in, but that's not the point. I've got three 795s. It's okay to have one down for a while. But anyway, I was out test firing it, and I just go down the road and up this old logging trail to go test fire. And of course, because it's hunting season, I've got to have my hunting orange on and all that stuff. So I do, and I was up there, and I was just driving up normal speed. Come around a corner, and there's a grouse right in the middle of the road. Perfect. Perfect time to test out the rifle. So pop out and click. So didn't get the grouse. But anyway, no big deal. I'll get him another day.
He gave you the feather and walked away.
He certainly did. And he did. He just walked away too. Didn't even go very far. But anyway, yeah, so that thing's been giving me a little bit of grief. So I've been messing around with that a little bit, taking it to the range and stuff. But the good news is, while it's down, I've decided that my Marlin 70, the Papoose, is going to be my go-to hunting rifle for the year, just because, for fun. So I mounted a scope on it, took it to the range, and I wanted to make sure before I did that I really did want to use this rifle. So I did take it to the range, and I sighted it in, and I compared the groups that I shot with it, because it has a 16-inch thin profile barrel, as opposed to the Marlin 795 has this 18-inch kind of a, like a half bowl barrel almost. It's quite thick for a 22 barrel.
Yeah, it's fair to say. You could call it a heavy barrel.
It's not a heavy barrel,
it's not,
yeah.
It's not tapered at all. It's a straight contour.
It is tapered a little bit.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Very little bit. You got to look for it, though. But you're right. It is a heavy barrel. And so I was not really expecting the 70 to perform as well. Well, it did, hands down. Just the group sizes were almost exactly identical. So I'm very, very thrilled that even though it's a shorter and thinner profile barrel, that still holds up accuracy-wise. That micro-groove rifling must really do it. Yeah.
You just answered it. Never mind. Carry on.
Yep. Micro-groove rifling. That's probably it. So anyway, it's now sitting in a 795 stock. I think I've talked about this before. It's not in the Papoose stock. I have it in a full-size stock. I got the scope mounted on it now. Dialed in perfectly to where I want it, and I've also attached a little kind of magazine bag to the butt of it so I can carry all my spare mags and right on the gun so I don't have to stick them in my pocket. So anyway, that's kind of all I did, a little bit of, you know, quasi-hunting. I actually did go out intentionally to go hunting, but of course the day I intentionally went hunting, I didn't see anything. It was just the time when I accidentally went hunting that I saw something. So I'm itching for a headshot. So... yeah. Anyway. What? Good luck with that, you say? I can do it.
All right.
I was shooting at the range. We still have a few leftover dandelions. Just a few, because they're dying off from the cold. But offhand, at about between 15 and 20 yards, I was picking off heads with the marlin. Usually within two shots, I would get it. So I think a grouse head is a little bit bigger than that, and I think it's definitely within my reach. So, anyway.
Show me the video.
A video? Oh, I'll show you the picture.
Fine.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, did I ever tell you the story about the time my father shot a grouse through the head with his Enfield?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him coming home from a deer hunting trip with no deer, and he's asleep on the couch, and out on the porch is this grouse with a perfect hole through its head. The beak is there, the back of the head is there.
But the middle is gone.
Yeah, this hole you can stick your pinky finger in.
I'll try to do that.
Headshotted it with his Enfield.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll have quite the same hole with a .22 as I would with a .303, but I will try it, and I'll see what kind of hole we get. I don't know if I can stick my pinky through it, but maybe a .22 casing. That'd be kind of gross to put a picture up on Facebook of, wouldn't it? But I'll do it anyway.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Why don't you take us this one and only news stories?
Sure. Printed in the Calgary Herald, and there's no title, so I'll just read it and we'll see what it's about. Calgary MP Rob Anders believes military officers and police should carry guns and ammunition while they're off duty. If we trust them enough to arm them during war and conflict, we should trust the military and the police to have their guns, their sidearms, and to have ammunition when they're off duty too, he said on Saturday. If you want to stop bad people with guns, you have to make sure that good people have guns too. I really like this guy so far.
I know, right? God love Rob.
Anders made the remarks at a small vigil in Calgary at Central Memorial Park Cenotaph in honor of the two soldiers killed last week while unarmed in separate attacks. Corporal Nathan Cirillo was shot dead on the steps of the National War Memorial in Ottawa on Wednesday, and Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent was killed after being struck in a hit-and-run attack in Quebec on October 20th. A group of Calgarians, many waving Canadian flags, gathered at the Cenotaph on Saturday morning to sing O Canada and share a moment of silence in honor of Cirillo and Vincent. This isn't the first time Anders had made remarks about guns. In 2010, Anders apologized in the House of Commons for comments he wrote to Canadian troops in Afghanistan that told them, when in doubt, pull the trigger. I don't see why he would have to apologize for that. Anyway, then in February 2014, a photo of Anders and a federal candidate with guns in their hands at a Calgary firing range was circulated on social media. Oh, the horror. People legally enjoying guns. Oh, man. The image showed the pair in front of a target depicting a lifelike image of a terrorist, and it sparked debate about what lifelike figures are appropriate targets for firing ranges. I would say if it's printed on paper, I don't care what it is. As long as it's not an actual figure on the firing range, I think it's okay. It's just paper and a picture. People get their panties in a knot over the silliest things, but I really like this guy, and I'm in full agreement with him. Military and police, and for that matter, all law-abiding civilians and citizens should have firearms and ammunition with them all the time. They really should. Yeah.
We were having an end-of-season barbecue at one of our club members' places on Saturday after our range cleanup. Oh, yeah. I cleaned up our range on Saturday.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So everything's put away. Anyway, So he's a retired major, and I'm not going to mention any names because, you know, I don't know if they want their comments out there, but the topic was brought up, and the reason he gave for why guys who are doing ceremonial duties, like our two members that were guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, don't get to have ammunition is because inadvertently there's always an AD. That's what he said. They get bored, they get playing, they get fidgety, and they forget that they have a live rifle, and there's an AD. And this was happening, so they started to have soldiers carry replica rifles or no ammunition and rifles when doing ceremonial duties because of the monotony of the task at hand. I thought to myself, well, that's kind of silly. I mean, a cop can carry his gun all day, and he doesn't – well, actually, some cops do have ADs, but that's just another topic for another show. But for the most part, police officers carry all day, and they don't have any ADs. And he said, yes, but they're constantly engaged in an activity. They're not bored. They're doing something. They're working. They're on the job. They're answering calls. They're driving the car. And it just got to be a problem. So they started to take the bullets away from the soldiers.
I can see that, but I think that's the wrong approach. I would think better training would have been the solution
exactly.
There.
Exactly. So it's it's the same idea, Matthew, is, well, cops, you know, are having ADs, so let's give them 12-pound triggers. No, let's train them how to
keep
shoot.
Their finger off the trigger until they're ready to shoot.
Exactly. So the guy who can't stand there for an 8 or 12-hour shift with a loaded gun and not have an AD, get rid of him.
Maybe he's not the guy to be guarding the War Memorial.
Exactly.
Maybe he's the guy to be pushing papers back at the depot.
So worried about offending anyone.
Yeah.
You know, well, we'll just take the bullets away from everybody instead of telling this guy he can't do his job.
Yeah.
So
I think somewhat
interesting point of view, though, that I hadn't considered.
Yeah. And
from a former military man.
I think one of the other things, and I've seen this before too, just kind of the idea behind it, is that if you're used to having an unloaded gun all the time, you treat all your guns as if they're always unloaded. But if you're used to having loaded guns all the time, then you will treat all guns as if they were loaded all the time.
Yeah, you get the guys who muzzle somebody in a gun store and say, well, it's not loaded.
Right. Well, that's not the point. I mean, the point is you always treat them as if they're loaded, and sometimes to drive that...
You'll be all right.
Yeah, to drive that point home, you know, maybe sometimes the military should just always have loaded guns always. And maybe that would just kind of instill the kind of realization that all guns are always loaded. But, you know, they're not going to do that. That's way too politically incorrect. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, let's put that one to bed and move on to our main topic.
Let's do that.
All right, main topic time. It's that time of year again, Matthew.
Time to get your prostate checked?
No, not that time.
Oh, time to do your taxes?
Time to roll back the clocks.
Time to roll back. That is actually this weekend, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So this is your public service announcement. So long as you're subscribed to the show and you listen to it on a regular basis and a timely fashion, don't forget to roll back your clocks. Those of you who are listening late, don't bother. It's too late.
You're going to do me a favor and cut that, right?
Nope.
So it's our annual Halloween/zombie defense show.
And by annual, this is the first time we've done this.
No, we did it last year.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
So it's how much I pay attention.
Yeah, we did the zombie defense show already. So.
Oh, so we're doing it again.
Yeah.
This year, though. So it's like an annual one.
Yeah. So what we did was we asked our listeners to tell us what their zombie defense plans would be by email. And, of course, none of you listened and simply replied on Facebook.
Not one. We got one email.
Yes, that's true.
And then we got like 17 Facebooks.
So we're going to go through your zombie defense plans, Matthew and I. Pick them apart and tell you why you're going to die quickly and why they suck.
Right.
It's not that we hate you. It's that we actually
want we to love you and we want you to be better prepared.
Right. So
and we like making fun of people.
Exactly. So we're going to start with Filthy. Filthy says, simple. Now remember, the question is always, what's your zombie defense plan?
Right.
Simple. I put on my full set of plastoid armor and let the games begin.
Filthy, of course, is our resident clone.
So yeah. Filthy dies a pretty quick and painful, agonizing death because, as we know, he's unable to hit anything he shoots at, so they eat him quickly.
Yeah. Guys, do headshots. We're trying. You're not even hitting them.
Chris Rakowski says, and Chris, we have to have a show meeting next week. I put on my robe and wizard hat. Uh-huh.
Okay. So he's off. Wait, what?
Yeah, this is not cosplay, Chris. This is zombie defense. So this next one is...
So he's going to spell them to death.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Z-O-M-B... get it? See, I'm spelling.
I get it. It's awful. This next one comes to us from Eric, and Eric says, SVT-40. Now, here's the problem with this plan. If I lived where they are more plentiful, ammo is cheap. Well, since you don't live where they're plentiful, this is a bad plan.
That is a bad plan, yes. The SVT-40, what is that, some sort of Russian thing?
Yeah, it's a semi-automatic. It's one of the first semi-autos in World War II.
Why do you know this?
Because I shoot with Pierre Luc.
Oh, okay. So what kind of ammo do they use?
Oh, who cares? It's...
Well, he says ammo is cheap. I want to know.
Well, it's a surplus ammo, right?
Yeah, but 308's technically a surplus ammo. It ain't cheap.
All right. You look it up while I read the...
No, picture. I'm not going to do that.
Anyway, it's surplus ammo.
It's probably 7.62 by 54R.
Probably. Did they make that name?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up. You do the next one. What's the next one? It's from Adriel. The hunting gear guy.
Hold on a second. So Eric says, if I lived where they are more plentiful, ammo is cheap. Well, if you don't, then this is not your zombie defense plan.
That's not a good plan.
Pick something that you have and use that, because the zombies don't care where you live.
They they'll really like you if you live where you can't get one of these guns.
Yeah.
I was correct. 7.62 by 54R.
Nice. So another reason why this gun, I think, is an absolute horrible choice, the 7.62 by 54R has a whole lot of kick. This gun is long and unwieldy, and
it weighs 8.5 pounds unloaded, and it's 48. That is 48 inches long. That is more than a meter. That is 1.2 meters long.
This is not a good zombie defense gun because
this is a zombie defense club.
A club, yeah.
And that is actually, that's a good point. I mean, when he runs out of ammo or he can't get any ammo because it's unpopular, apparently he can beat them. Well, and you can put a bayonet on it too, probably.
It's big, it's heavy, it's slow, it recoils a lot, and there's not a lot of options out there for optics. And iron sights aren't as fast as a red dot. So
yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, Eric. You have not survived the first week.
Apocalypse. You made it through the first hour.
An hour, yeah.
Chris Rakowski, you don't even know. Filthy, no. But at least so far, Eric's up to an hour, so that's good.
Well, Filthy might be like half an hour because it takes a while for those zombies to chew through that plastic armor.
Adriel says 10.22 or 7.95. And if you remember when we did this before, I talked about the benefits of a 22, believe it or not, during the apocalypse. He goes on to say it's a lot easier to carry thousands of rounds of 22 on you, and you probably wouldn't need any more power for distance. In the event the dead come back, you could probably disregard current laws and fashion a suppressor of some sort as well. So, yeah, and I've got other points we'll talk about later about why 22 is an excellent, excellent choice. So, Adriel's so far, he's still alive.
Especially if he can figure out some sort of suppressor, because we all know zombies come to the sound of gunfire. So if you can get a quiet gun, so much the better. But you will have to find some subsonic ammo somewhere.
Not necessarily. Ross Lowry, well, he's getting... Ross, oh, damn, I was supposed to throw something in this week that Ross emailed. We'll do it next week. He wrote a very powerful letter to some politicians that I want to share.
Oh, cool.
Ross says, what zombies are we talking about? The controversial ones?
No, or conventional, it says.
Sorry, the conventional ones or the 28 days later ones?
They're all controversial, Trevor.
That's right. The 28 days later ones, really?
They're
the
scary.
One from World War Z?
Scary.
Yeah, that I don't want to play.
If it's those, I just need one bullet.
Yep, that's
basically.
Right.
Basically, just for me.
Yep. But let's say it's the original ones. The
slow shufflers.
So he says different setups. For the generic one, an AR-15, but an LEM-4, and a 9mm pistol. He didn't say what his plan would be for the 28 days later one.
Yeah, minigun.
Yeah. So Ross is also going to survive quite a while, only I have a lot of issue with the Benelli M4. We'll talk about that later. 9mm pistol, always good to keep on your hip in case you have to use it on yourself. But the AR-15, there's a lot of benefit there.
Yep. Yeah, I see a lot of people, and we'll talk about it more later, but a lot of people say shotgun's the best, but I don't know.
We will. I've got a whole page worth of notes why you're wrong.
Yeah.
About shotguns. Not you in particular, but
I know
the shotgun.
Yeah, you hate me, and you're letting your hate bleed through. I can sense it.
Long live the Empire.
Yes.
10X says, whatever I do has to involve a chainsaw. It's like a custom or old charter or something.
You got to have a chainsaw. Sorry, Peter, but
Peter doesn't make it through the first 10 minutes.
You'll probably end up cutting your own leg off. And yes, you could probably fix yourself, but while they're eating you, I don't think it's going to work. Unless you have like 9X on backup with his gun covering
Airsoft.
You, then maybe. But think of the blood flying around from the chainsaw. You're going to ingest some of that, then you're a zombie, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea.
Ugh. Yeah, Peter, I'm really disappointed. He's usually on the ball with these things.
He'll probably just fashion himself some sort of nuclear device and just blow up everything around him.
From household items. No,
he'll be fine. Yeah, he probably could.
Mike has a brilliant idea. He's going to surround himself with treadmills.
It's perfect. It's a perfect zombie defense plan. Just treadmills everywhere. They just keep walking. They get in shape.
You just stick or something. Yeah.
You just poke them and they fall down. Another one comes on. You're safe forever. Yeah.
So, how's the next name pronounced, Matthew?
Alejandro.
Alejandro is going to go with an SKS carbine. Wrong. Comes with a bayonet and ammo is pretty cheap, and a Walter P22Q. With the suppressor, super duper quiet.
See, that I like.
Walter.
That's a great idea.
The SKS, however, SKS D, maybe, but otherwise, your SKS at best is going to hold no more than 10 rounds at a time.
Yeah.
You get into a horde, 10 bullets and you're reloading, 10 bullets you're reloading. Maybe you're, employing the bayonet for a bit. But no, you want capacity.
Well, that's what maybe he has the many mags for his Walther P22Q. So.
Maybe.
Then he could, when he runs out. But the SKS just, if you're going to get a carbine, it really should be an AR.
Something magazine fed.
Anyway. Yeah, and a little bit more accuracy than what the SKS can produce. We're looking for headshots here, folks. Remember, headshots are nothing.
Chris Anderson's going to shoot Bill Murray
by
accident, of course.
Of course. And that is such a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it.
Zombieland.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe I'll hang out at a mall. Could work. Love that movie, too. Night of the Living Dead. And he says, no, I'll go to the Winchester. Winchester, if you're talking lever action, regardless of caliber, they reload very slowly.
They do reload slow, yeah. But you won't ever lose your magazine.
That's true. But he's still a dead man.
Yeah.
Kevin says AR-15 with dedicated 22 upper and suppressor, 36 grain CCI mini mag hollow point for the win, brother. He knows what's up.
That's a good one.
Kevin will survive.
And then go and steal Alejandro's Walther, and then you have 22 and a 22, and then you're all set.
It's repossessing. If he dies, you didn't steal it from him.
Oh, right. You're repurposing it.
Yeah. So Jordan, my buddy out in Vancouver, he says, the typical setup of an AR-15, semi-automatic shotgun, twin leg-mounted 9mm, and to finish off the ensemble, twin samurai short swords on back with custom sheaths, Walking Dead style. That sword is so badass. You're carrying too much gear.
Yep.
Really.
You're never going to outrun them.
Ditch the shotgun.
Yep.
We'll talk why later. Twin leg mounted 9mm. No.
Is that like the leg mounted machine gun from Planet Terror there?
No, I think he just means,
like thigh rig kind of things.
Yeah. I would sacrifice one gun for more ammo. But you can't go wrong with the swords, man. And that's
you don't have to reload a sword.
You don't. No, you don't.
But you're getting into the same territory as a chainsaw, though. Lots of blood and biological fluid when you slice things. I'd much rather...
dress
can't believe I'm... Well, true. You could always, wear a biohazard suit everywhere you go, and pretty soon there'll be,
Remember that mask that Bane wore in Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Except not because you have like some sort of breathing thing where you'll die if you don't wear it.
Right.
Except I guess technically you would, wouldn't you?
Ready for Rob?
Yeah, bring us Rob.
Rob, bugging in and staying quiet so the zombies will pass me by. I live in a rural, very area, so the living and the undead shouldn't be much of a problem. Oh, and an NEA 15, 12 gauge 870, Glock 22, and my 10 BA will be part of the arsenal.
What's a 10 BA?
10 BA.
I don't know. I don't know either. 10 BA. Into Google, and it comes up with, oh, a Savage. It's Savage 10
Sniper
BA.
Sniper rifle. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Target rifle.
Yeah, you got it. Sniper rifle.
Awesome. Glock 22. Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, you don't need 40 caliber to take down a zombie, so you could you get more capacity out of a Glock 17, let's say.
But you could just put 9mm in your Glock 22. You'll be fine. It'll probably feed.
Yeah, it'll shoot too, but it won't be, as it wobbles its way down the barrel. So
yeah.
Yeah, but there's something to be said for the 10 BA. Especially
long range.
Yeah, if you got a rooftop location or something,
you can keep them. You know, keep them a kilometer away from you. They never get to you. Then you'll be fine. And if they walk slow, you got all kinds of time to pick them off.
Tim LaCroix is also going to die. Steven's shotgun. Yeah. The first thing he comes up with, Glock 17. He's getting better. Oh, and my new 10/22 50th anniversary contest winning model. Gold steel, samurai sword, and bonbons.
Good idea with the candy.
The calories up, yeah. So 2022, yeah. Glock 17, yeah.
He's talking about the 50th anniversary. I think he's talking about the, not the one that we saw, but the one that was designed sort of for Appleseed. It's got a full-length stock with tech sights, and it's a nice-looking little rifle. I think that's the one that has the ability to put the mags in the stock.
Yeah, 10/22.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right then.
I know what you're talking about.
I didn't know if maybe the listeners didn't know.
They can look.
So, carry on.
Zombies aren't going to care.
Is this a gun show?
I think so.
Should we be talking about guns?
Yes.
And how they differ?
No.
And what their features are and what's
maybe
cool about them?
Possibly.
Okay. Next.
Ryan J. Miller, my zombie plan isn't much different than the Swift Family Robinson plan to fend off the pirates. Lots of coconut bombs, booby traps, a tiger pit. Oh, and I would live in a treehouse. Ryan's going to live a long time.
That's not a bad idea, really. Although, how explosive are coconut bombs?
Depends how much Pyrodex you put in them.
I guess.
And then Kyle is the only one who actually sent us an email. Thank you, Kyle. Kyle's going to live forever because he can follow directions. He says, my zombie defense plan is as follows. I live in a suburban bordering on rural area. So I figure I'll have a couple of hours to prepare before the waves of zombies will be coming at my house. Wrong. You should be prepared now. Don't wait for the news to hit and then start preparing. Hopefully, my army buddy can make it out of the city and make it to my place. Wrong. Not hopefully. Your army buddy already needs to know how to get to your place in case of emergency. Because he's a damn good shot. Well, you need to be a damn good shot in case he doesn't show up. You can't rely on him. And he needs to know how to get there now. To start off, all the doors and most of the windows will be barricaded. The Remington 700, M14, and Mosin will be used to take out targets farther than 100 meters. Pick one. You don't need all of them. And pick the M14 because it's semi-auto and you won't have to cycle through the bolt and you'll be faster. If there are a few zombies here and they're at close range around my house and I have time to properly engage them, the Kui Model 60 will be used to pick them off. Relatively close-range targets in waves will be engaged with the SVT, SKS, and my other 7.62 other in air quotes, I love it, and my other 7.62x39 rifle. Once the defenses are breached, the Mossberg 500 comes out. I'll save one round for myself at the end. I don't want to live in a world without Ottawa Senators or NASCAR. Kyle.
That's funny because I'd much rather live in that world.
If the defenses are breached, I wouldn't go to the 500. I would stick with your other 7.2x69 rifle. And let's jump into why, Matthew, you and I don't feel that the shotgun is an adequate zombie defense, or maybe even, well, call it a... okay, why is a shotgun not a good zombie defense gun?
Well, ammo is very voluminous. it's big ammo. It's hard to carry a lot of it. That's the first thing. And the second thing is shotguns don't carry a lot of ammo.
Yep, low capacity is the first thing I have. Ammunition is heavy, takes up a lot of room. It's a pain in the butt to lug around. They're close range at best. And guess what, kids? Everybody wants to go with a shotgun because I don't have to be as precise with a shotgun.
That's wrong.
Not true at all. I mean, we shot our shotgun out of the second floor window at our house stage in Restigouche down on head-sized plates on the ground no more than 20 meters away, and people were missing them.
Yep.
You still have to aim. Yeah.
It's so not a point and click.
Reasons, they're a long gun. They have low capacity. The ammunition is heavy, and you still have to be precise. And finally, when it comes time to reloading a shotgun, I'd much rather fire a magazine into a magazine-fed firearm than pump rounds in one at a time.
Yeah. I think the reason why the shotgun has gained so much popularity for, you know, zombies or, you know, real-world applications like home defense and stuff is because, one, the myth that you don't need to really know much about guns to use them, and two, because they're plentiful. Everybody has a 12-gauge. So, like, well, I'll just use my 12-gauge. I've got that for hunting. I might as well use it for home defense, too. Well, just because you have it doesn't mean it's the best tool.
Yeah.
So, it can still be used. It can still be utilized, but it's not top of my food chain for, or top of my list for,
no,
for guns that I would use in any sort of self-defense situation.
It's so far down on my list for anything other than hunting and competition.
Hunting, competition. Yeah, and that's it. That's all I use mine for.
I have the Magpul Dynamics Art of the Shotgun that I'm going to watch. I watched the trailer, and they make it look really badass. But, look, whatever you can do with a shotgun, you can do an AR-15, only better.
Yeah. Well, now, there are, again,
and shooting clays, but
yeah, again, the popularity of the shotgun, you know, the police have only ever carried 12 gauges for quite a while. They've only recently begun carrying carbines. So again, you know, you have the training DVDs out there, and yes, you have to learn how to run your shotgun if that's all you're allowed to carry, but we're not limited. We can carry whatever we want. So get a rifle.
So why don't we jump into our zombie defense plans, Matthew? You want to go first?
Do I ever? Basically 22s.
Mm-hmm.
I have my axis for long range stuff, you know, anything less than a half kilometer and closer, I would use my axis. Anything closer than that's 22, and I've got a 22 pistol that I would have on me as well. I do also have other guns. I have my 9mm, my Glock 17. I don't know if I would utilize that a whole lot. First of all I have is full metal jacket ammo. I have, you know, 25 rounds of jacketed hollow point, but unless only 25 zombies come at me. Yeah, what do you mean? I just told you, axis and 22s. I'm just talking about the other options that I do have.
Okay.
I do know what I would do. I would go to Owens, bring all of my 22 ammo and my 22 rifle. I'd just bring all my guns, but 22s where it's at. And the reason why we've discussed, carry lots of ammo, and if you're talking slow, walking, shuffling zombies, it's all you need to make a headshot with. Lights out. What about you, Trevor? What would you do?
My Glock 17, my NEA, and my long range rifle, my TAC 21.
Right. So you're carrying 308, 223, and 9mm.
No, I'm not always carrying them. That's part of the overall plan, depending on where I am.
Oh, okay.
What rifle I'll deploy.
Well, are you staying home or are you leaving?
As soon as I can, I'm gone.
Yeah, because you live in the city.
Yeah.
That's a bad place to be for the zombies to overrun you.
Yeah, that's it. When it comes to, you know, planning for a zombie horde, you need to be away from both the living and the undead.
Sometimes the un-undead, the ones that weren't dead to begin with, the living, I guess we could call them, sometimes they're more dangerous because they still have their emotions and they're scared and they do stupid things. They're unpredictable, whereas zombies, they're predictable. All they want are your brains.
The most important lesson I've learned from all pop culture, zombie, genre, things, video games, movies, whatever, is that the living are to be feared more than the dead.
Right.
So, that is why I would
get away from them.
I would not go with a I would love to go with a high capacity 22, right? I'm thinking 10/22 because there are more parts available on the planet for 10/22s than there are people. They've got a real proven track record of reliability and functionality, and just they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. You can get 50 and 100 round drums for them. So you have a huge amount of capacity before you have to reload. 50 rounds or even 100 rounds before reloading. You don't need to wear hearing protection at any time, even indoors. Low recoil, which means they're easy to shoot, faster follow-up shots. If you throw a scope on there, you can smoke a zombie in the head all the way up to 100 meters, no problem. Inside of 50 meters, I mean, you're taking a head. Point of aim, point of impact inside 50 is pretty much the same. So if you've got a red dot on there, you are good to go. A red dot, 100-round drum.
It's only a 6-inch drop at 100 yards if you're zeroed at 50.
Yeah, so...
So even at 100 yards, you aim for the top of the head, you're still hitting them in the head.
Still in the head, that's right. So, and 22 rifles are small, compact, lightweight. You can pack those suckers around all day and not even know you're carrying something. And, of course, ammunition. You have a wide variety of ammunition from supersonic to subsonic, hollow points, whatever. It's lightweight, and you can carry 10,000 rounds of 22 in half the space it would take to carry, you know, the equivalent of 223.
Absolutely. 22 ammo is so small to carry. Now, here's the other option you have, Trevor,
Cons about the 22, though.
Okay, but can I talk about what you could do if you didn't want to have your AR and a 10/22?
Yeah.
Why not your 22 conversion kit? Because the magazines for those are high capacity already. You've got one gun,
They're not high capacity, they're 30 rounds.
They're regular capacity.
Yeah, so they'd be the same capacity as a 5.56.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So you're thinking the 10/22 because you can get the 50 and 100-round drums. Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. I like that. Okay, carry on with why the 22 is not. What are the cons in the 22?
They require more cleaning more often because the ammunition is so dirty. And, again, they're just not as effective on the living.
That's true. I mean, if you have to consider the fact that the living may become a problem, then maybe the 22 is not going to be your only option. Maybe it's an option, but it might not be the only option that you have.
Cool.
That's a good point. See, I'd much rather just stay away from the living and not have them be a problem just by the simple fact that they're not around. But you do still have to plan for the fact that they could be. So, yeah, that's a good point.
And if my only rifle is a 22 and I get into a hunting situation where I want to take some big game, I'd be much more comfortable trying to take down a deer or a bear with a 5.56 than I would with a 22 long rifle.
Yep, makes sense. I mean, not to say it can't be done. It can be, but you're right. You'd be more comfortable and more likely to be successful with the larger capacity or the larger caliber.
Yeah, especially in long range.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So,
yeah.
So
we already talked about why shotguns are no good and why 22s are pretty good but could be better. The AR, I think, is a fantastic platform for anti-zombie operations. It's a fairly lightweight rifle.
Yeah, mostly lightweight, yeah.
Yeah, magazines are as plentiful as, you know, you can imagine, and fortunately, when the zombie hordes come, I believe that is the same day that they repeal the Firearms Act, and so then you can take those rivets out, and then you have all the capacity you need for your AR.
You can even get drum mags for your AR as well.
Yeah, the beta mags, I think they're called, aren't they? I've never seen them in Canada, but I'm sure they're around.
I think one of our listeners, Paul Furlot, who spells Furlot wrong, bought the KCI one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wolverine not long ago had them.
Interesting.
100 round, pin to 5 or something like that.
That's hilarious. That's like the funniest thing, like pin to 5. You got a 5-pound magazine there, yep, with 5 shots in it, yep.
Yep. Canada.
Canada, booyah. Sorry.
Yep. So ammo for the AR platform is cheap and available.
It is, and the nice thing is even the surplus stuff will work on the zombies, because even a full metal jacket's going to put down a zombie if you get him in the head.
Yeah.
There's enough energy there. Yeah.
In the right hands, you can make headshots with out to 100 meters. They're doable, you know, with an AR.
I think even further. I think you could expect two MOA.
Well, I'm talking offhand.
Okay. Yeah,
Off of the bench, you can get headshots 200 plus meters.
Probably 200.
Are right. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. But you're right. Offhand, you're probably talking 100 yards max.
Yeah, in the right hands. I mean, not everybody could do it, but in the right hands, you could offhand 100 meter headshot.
Well, and here's the thing too. If you're offhand and they're 100 meters away, if you have the chance to go prone and take them out one shot at a time, that's probably your best option, because shooting in, you know, when you're shooting at the living, just a couple of gunshots and usually they're going to take off because they don't want to die. Well, zombies don't have that fear.
No.
So you got to make sure each shot is effective. There's no sense in warning shots for sure against zombies, and there's no sense in shooting to scare them off or shoot one and you know, body shot them or whatever to scare the rest of them. They don't care. Each shot has to be effective. If you can't make a headshot, you're dubious of your ability to make a headshot, don't even shoot. Don't waste your ammo. Make sure you get a headshot.
Yep, conserve your ammo, be accurate.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, parts. Lots and lots of parts out there. And availability of aftermarket parts and accessories. You can mount weapon-mounted lights and optics that are magnified and non-magnified, red dots.
Lights are a good point, because zombies don't just attack during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And are zombies attracted to lights? I'm not sure.
Well, there was that whole notion of star flowers, where this one film was launching the fireworks up at night, and they were seeing them and headed towards them to keep them away from their camps and stuff.
Oh, so interesting. So they may be attracted to lights anyway. But then again, you should still have a light on your firearm in case you need to engage them at night, for sure.
Yeah. Another platform, which I'm very fond of, would be your AK-47. No, it's got to be magazine-fed, or I don't even want to talk about it.
I know.
It's AK-47s, or in this country, the CZ-858 or the VZ-58, just because I love that 7.62x39 round inside of 300 meters.
Now, here's my issue with those rifles, is it's hard to put an optic on them.
Yep, and that's my issue as well. Now, I had an optic on my CZ. I mean, There's a hand.
It's been so long since you had it, I forgot that.
Well, there's a railed handguard, so I had a red dot mounted in front of the action, as opposed to in back of the action, or over top of the action.
But doesn't that handguard come off when you clean the gun?
Yes.
And so you have to re-zero it every time you clean the gun?
No, because it's mounted to the handguard, so you're not taking the optic off of the handguard. The optic stays on the handguard.
Yeah, but if you're taking the handguard off of the rifle and putting it back on, how do you know you're putting the handguard on the exact same way that you had it before?
Well, you're not talking about a precision rifle here. It's going to go on in the same place within certain tolerance, right?
That's true. And again, yeah, like you say, within 300 yards, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's also receiver-mounted scope rails that go over the action now.
Are those the ones that bolt into the side?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would stay attached to the rifle all the time then,
exactly,
when you clean it.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that's not a bad idea.
But both of these platforms are not as modular as the AR platform. There's no question. But the products are out there. I mean, there's all kinds of AK stuff out there. Not in this country, unfortunately, but the reliability of the AK, the potency of the 7.62x39 round, hard to. And AKs are lightweight, compact rifles.
Yeah, yeah. The CZs and VZs are pretty lightweight and compact too. I think the 7.62x39 is a good option, and because you can stockpile that stuff for not a lot of money.
Exactly.
If you want to get ready for the zombie horde, you can pick up a couple crates of that stuff, and the corrosive stuff lasts forever. You can just stick it wherever you want. It's in sealed spam cans. It'll never go bad. You just put it wherever you want, and 100 years later, it'll still work just fine. So,
which is another thing that I find really appealing. And when I had my CZ, I was storing quite a bit of ammo. Like when I sold it with 4,000 rounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have gone to the range and then told him, for only 400 rounds for the gun, and then I sell it to him later with 4,000 rounds through the gun.
it was all factored into the price, so.
Right.
But there's no question that the accessorizing of those rifles is not.
Well, here's the other thing, though, is when the zombie hordes come, do you really need to accessorize your rifle? All you really need is a light.
Well, no, you want it accessorized ahead of time. That's what I'm saying. You want to choose a rifle prior to the apocalypse that you have options.
What do you feel are mandatory accessories for a firearm against zombies?
It's got to have the ability to take on an optic, and that optic be accurate part of that rifle system. And you need to have suppressor capability.
That's a great idea. Threaded barrels for sure.
Has to be magazine fed.
Yep. And I think add one, put a light. You got to have the ability to add a light.
Yep.
But I really like the idea. And up here in Canada, unfortunately, we have terrible suppressor laws and the fact that they're completely prohibited and banned. But, you know, in the event of the Firearms Act being rescinded, of course, when the zombie horde approaches the horizon, you could – it's easy enough to fashion even a make-do suppressor, theoretically, I would imagine, that you could at least quieten your rifle a little bit and keep the muzzle flash down so you can shoot it at night without blinding yourself and giving away your position.
There's no law against knowledge.
No.
So right now I could, in theory, go on the internet – and study everything I need to know and parts lists and everything on how to build the suppressor. And then when the world comes to an end, I already have the knowledge. Right?
Well, here's the other option.
That knowledge now.
That's true. I mean, you're right. Nothing against knowledge. But here's the other option is, and I'm not sure how, I know they're not as effective as real suppressors, but the old oil can suppressor, the oil filter. I've seen Hickok use his on his channel, and it certainly seemed to me as if it worked just fine. It's not going to be at the same level as a professionally built one, a proper one, of course. But we're talking, you know, the zombie apocalypse. You really don't have time to, maybe you don't have time to build your own suppressor. Maybe all you have time for is a quick trip to Canadian Tire and, pick up an oil filter or something. That might be an option too.
Yeah, I would probably learn how to build them, source all the parts ahead of time, have everything on hand. Right, I have everything in my home right now to build a bomb, and that's fine until I actually try and build one. Then I need to go to jail because I'm a psycho.
That's right.
But so you can have everything on hand to build a suppressor ahead of time,
as long as you don't actually build it.
That's right.
It's not illegal to own a can. It's illegal
same,
to.
That's right. It's the same as my pinned magazines.
That's right. It's only illegal until once you drill them out.
That's right. So having everything to build a suppressor and not building it is no different than having a magazine with a pin in it.
That being said, this is all still theoretical, and we are not lawyers and are not offering any sort of advice to anybody. But if you get in trouble for doing something stupid, it's not our fault.
That's right.
Well, it might be Owen's because he's not here. He's our scapegoat this week, so it's right. Owen's fault.
Yeah. According to the intro, he's out hiding a body. So
that's right. So I don't know if you'd want to mess with him or not. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, what was that joke on Facebook? Remember, if ever you need me to help you hide a body, I will. And remember, if you ever piss me off...
I know how to hide a body.
Yeah, that's funny. What other firearms could we consider now?
Well, I think we've really talked about the ones that work well. What are some guns that we would just definitely refuse to use or at least really not
anything
want to?
Wood.
I'm not necessarily along. I mean, an M14 would be kind of cool, even if in its original wood stock.
Yeah. No. Any guns I wouldn't use. It's very simple. Anything that's not magazine fed is automatically for me off of the list because that just screams low capacity. Anything that has an obscure caliber. Off. Of
yeah.
The list.
Obscure calibers are, you know, don't go out and get
a 6.5. Or a Grendel.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, even a Beowulf.
Sure, don't get a Beowulf. That'd be silly. There's like...
Can't get the ammo.
No.
Gotta make your own. And
that's right.
You know.
Pick a popular ammo. Pick a popular brand of rifle or firearm of whatever sort.
Not taking anything heavy. I'm not taking anything that's not mag-fed. I'm not taking anything in a funny caliber.
Yeah, all good points. What about a 1911? I had to throw it in at some point.
It has very low capacity.
That's true.
1911s can be made to work and function reliably and accurately and all that good stuff, but they suffer from one huge flaw, and that is limited capacity.
So here's something else to consider whenever the zombies come and you bug out. don't forget to bring all of your cleaning supplies for your rifle and maintenance supplies for your rifle, all your tools that you need, cleaning rods, oils. I don't wonder how many people actually factor that thought into their bug out gear.
My cleaning kit is in my rifle.
Well, la-ti-da.
I have the Otis Air cleaning kit, which is designed to fit in the grip of the rifle.
Well, there you go. So you're set with your cleaning kit. You got oil in there, too?
No, but it's in my range bag, so the range bag goes with the
range
rifle.
Range bag. And you can always just use, you know, WD-40, right?
Yeah. Well, the Mark 18, no, do not put WD-40. The Mark 18 has the Magpul grip with the oil bottle in the grip.
Oh, okay. Too bad you sold that one.
Yeah, well, I didn't sell the grip necessarily.
Jason, here's your rifle. Where's the rest of it? All you're getting is the rifle.
I'm going to put an OD Green A2 on it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that matches for sure.
And the Magpul grips come with compartments in them. One,
yes.
I've got one that holds an oil bottle, one that holds a cleaning kit, one that holds a 4 rounds.
Yep.
So
I have 2 batteries for my EOTech, along with a sample package of oil.
Mm.
And it all fits in. I wrap the batteries in Ziploc. Oh,
I have those little sample packs of oil.
It's like fire something or other.
Fire clean,
yeah.
The stock that I have is the ACS.
So you can stick stuff in there too.
Yeah, I've got the cleaning kit in the back, and then there's 2 compartments on the side. So one has extra batteries for my EOTech. The other one can hold oil.
That's right.
And then there's 4 rounds in the grip.
That's a good point. That's good. Now, here's the other last thing maybe to consider, just kind of an aside, is maybe you have batteries for your optic, but make sure you also have iron sights in all of your firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you choose. We don't know how long the zombie apocalypse is going to last. It may outlast our batteries. So make sure that you you know how to use your iron sights and that you actually have them. So... cool. Well, we hope we have in some way prepared you further, and by that I mean entertained you slightly while we go on about fictional hordes of zombies cresting the horizon.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween indeed.
All right, that was a lot of fun, and I didn't learn anything. Let's do some listener feedback. This first one comes to us from Bang My Switch Luke.
Hey, Luke!
Boys, this is the first time I actually write into the show. A little disappointed it took 80 episodes for you guys to have something that finally piqued my interest.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Luke. And that's the end of his email. Let's carry on.
Yeah. So just listening to episode 80, and when Owen mentioned he used his M305 to take down his bear, my ears perked up. Trevor's correct. I have decided to use my M305 as my dedicated hunting rifle. My issue with ammo was with Remington Core-Lock. Once my new scope was zeroed with surplus ammo, I attempted to do the final tweaks with what I was going to use as hunting ammo. Much to my surprise, the ammo wouldn't feed properly. I thought these M305s ate everything. After finally getting the stuck round out of the chamber, it was very apparent that my gun did not like this stuff. After some discussion with more experienced shooters, it was suggested that the type of projectile was probably the problem. The Remington stuff is lead round nose, and looking at the projectile, it's obvious that the chamber wasn't something that the chamber wants something nice and pointy, not round. So the ammo that was recommended to me was Hornady SST, which is what I will be trying this weekend to put the final touches on my scope. That kind of makes sense if you think about it, right? They were shooting full metal jacket stuff out of these
guns.
That's
right, and they're very, very pointy.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are clones of the guns that they were, you know, the M14 that would have been shooting.
Does the M14 have the same style feed ramp as the AR, where it has sort of two channels from a double-stacked magazine?
I'm going to say no.
Oh,
it does not have the quote-unquote M14 feed ramps, no.
Okay.
As far as what I did with my 305, installed an Archangel stock in Desert Tan.
That's the wrong color.
Yeah, but
we don't live in the desert.
He did. No, listen. He chose that color for a reason.
Oh.
He then covered it in that 3M camo mossy oak pattern tape I was telling you about.
Oh, I see.
He did. Like, I tried to work with this stuff today on my scope, and it looks basically like it's wrapped in duct tape, except it's not shiny. It's pretty rough. But Luke's gun, I mean, it's like he took a razor blade and like cut all the pieces to fit around the rifle perfectly. Like it looks, unless you're right on top of the rifle, standing back, it looks like it was a camo dip job.
You know, nice.
Hydro dip stuff. Yeah, he did an excellent job.
Good.
Really paid attention to detail. So the desert tan doesn't matter because he's got this stuff over top right. of it, and it really makes the camo pop. He said, yeah, he says, yes, I know we don't live in the desert, but it offers the best canvas to mow it up. Paint example, paint everything camo like Mo Hepworth. For the time being, I use thin skin that I found on sale at Princess Auto. It's a very thin camo covering, mossy oak, I believe, and sticks very well to everything. I covered my rifle with it. I installed my aim sports scope mount and my Vortex and a Vortex Diamondback, and of course threw a sling on. But last but not least, I replaced the original spring and op rod with S&J Hardware Super Duty spring and op rod kit. Cheers, Luke.
Cool.
Yeah,
sounds like he's having fun with his M305 then.
You know, and they're not a 1022, they're not a Remington 700, they're not a Glock, but when it comes to accessorizing, it's not bad.
No.
It's actually, I would love to have two. I would love to have a Shorty in a Troy stock. A Troy chassis.
Right.
And I would love to have one in the Archangel with a Shorty in the Troy and a full length in the Archangel. And I'd like to make it as close to a precision semi-automatic rifle as you could get.
Right. And you can get it accurate enough, I think, for probably out to 500 yards.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would do is take it to Filthy's guy.
Yeah, yeah, because he knows what he's talking about when it comes
to
M14s.
Yeah. But when you get the gun back, all the tooling marks are gone.
Right.
Everything's been accurized and cleaned up and polished.
See, I don't care about the tooling marks. I just want it to run well.
Yeah, well, it's part of the process. He's not going to do one without doing the other.
I suppose.
So, but like, yeah, I want reliability and I want accuracy.
Yeah.
And so while he's at it, he cleans them up as well. So.
That's cool. Yeah, if only they made them in 223.
Well, he.
Oh, wait, Mini 14.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's true. That was the idea, right?
That's right. It's a baby M1 is what it is.
The M14 is a smaller version of the Garand, and the Mini 14 is a smaller version of the M14.
Yep.
So, how about you play this audio submission from Archie Perry then, and we'll keep on keeping on.
All right, then.
Dear Slamfire Radio, yesterday we had our first snowfall of the season, and it stuck. So today I set out to the woods with the good intentions of experiencing a beautiful sunny day and the hope that I might bag a grouse or a rabbit. Honestly, I was hoping for some brown rabbit on white snow, easy to see, fish in a barrel type action. You know the kind. I was disappointed to find that other than one solitary grouse track near the beginning of the trail, there were no rabbit tracks. None to be seen anywhere. I did happen on some squirrel tracks, but they were few and far between. Besides, they were the small red variety, not the meaty gray type. So after some time, I headed back to my car empty-handed, save a good attitude from a stellar hike and the first fresh snow of the year. As I neared that first grouse track that I had noticed, I found that it was deeper and wider. I got close and I saw that it was a perpetual grouse highway. Either there are many grouse here, or one very busy grouse walking back and forth, or both. So what should I do in this situation? I decided to sit for a while and I watched with excitement. The excitement waned as I was left with nothing but a cold, wet arse. I decided to sneak around and poke my head into a few bushes. It was while doing this when I saw him. He was behind two spruce trees that leaned side to side and formed a letter V at the base. His head and torso was bobbing back and forth between the trunks, and I could tell it was a rough grouse from his mohawk hairdo and the fantail poking out. So I drew a bead on him, and with careful precision I let the power of a full choke 12-gauge, number 5 shot, do what it's meant to do. I'm pleased to inform you and your listeners that I have finally bagged my first game since probably about 2012, other than the occasional self-collected roadkill. This is certainly the freshest game I've had in a while. So thank the animals, thank God, and happy harvesting to those of you looking for free-range organic fowl. Until next time, I'm Archie Perry.
Wow, 12-gauge full choke, number five. Was there anything left?
Are you grouse hunting or baboon hunting?
Oh, it's funny. Well, thanks, Archie, for sending that in. It was entertaining as usual. You you never fail to please.
Good use of the word arse.
I heard it
and I wasn't even sure that I had heard it. He slipped that in very well.
Right.
I it's definitely a Atlantic Canadian term. Okay, you got the next one?
Sure, from the German. Hello.
You could do better than that. Come on.
The German?
That's better.
What are you scared of? The Germans?
The Germans.
The Germans are coming after you. All right. Hello. Just wanted to say again, great show. Looking forward to Friday morning every week. The only thing that gets me going is that I know the new show is up for my drive to work. On a different note, I may not have my citizenship yet, but I can enter Canada with my German passport. So, Trevor, you'll have to call out someone else, and I will not name that person due to possible backlash. Almost said whiplash. Like, wow, said person needs to drive better, maybe. No, backlash. Said person needs to get off his you-know-what, I believe Archie Perry would call it an arse, and get a passport, or else I need to make the trip solo. And that comes to us from Edith. And as you all know, Edith is attached to Styx. So I think we know who said person is now, Mr. Styx.
I wasn't even done reading the email, and I was on Styx's Facebook going, "You! Yes, you!" My best Pink Floyd, "You! Yes, you, laddie!" I got on him, because she's right. She can travel in here, and he can't. So
that's right. They want to come up for the charity shoot, so they better get their ducks in a row, and then shoot them, and clean them, and eat them, and then come on up for the charity shoot. So get your passport there, Styx. Come on, man.
Yep. And we skipped over upcoming events, didn't we?
That's okay. The charity shoot is coming up. There you go. Upcoming events done. June 20th.
Man, if everybody who says they're coming actually does make it, this will be the most epic charity shoot as far as a cast of star-studded guests is concerned. A lot of big names from the podcasting world are talking about coming, and hopefully our celebrity from Australia. It's going to be a good day.
Yep, it's going to be fun.
Good day. It's going to be
good day. Good day.
It's more like a good 3 days, because some people come up early, some people leave later.
It'll be 3 days, yeah.
Jay is talking about coming up like the Thursday and helping set up on the Friday. So
who, Gowan?
No. I'll leave his last name out for now.
Oh, okay.
Right. When he replied that he was coming, the first words in his post were, "I am the liquor." And then it was like, can I come up on Thursday and start drinking early? I mean, help work early?
Yes, early. I'm helping.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and we're up to 3 tents in the backyard right now.
3 tents?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Okay, Matthew, how about you bring us our newest American feed, iTunes reviews?
Okay, sure. Our latest one, or the because we have two?
Just read the review.
No.
Nothing can be simple with you.
All right. The one of them says, how about this? Great show from Dust Tay. It says, great, most of the time, gun podcast. But, okay, all right. If you don't like it, you're a hoser? No, you're a hoser. Take off, eh? No, you take off. That's basically how we talk. So, Dust Tay nailed it.
Dust A. Dust. Take off, A, you hoser, A. You butchered that. Awful. Sorry. Sorry, A.
Sorry, eh? All right, the other one comes to us from Top Notch. No, sorry. Comes to us from RWHNZE. I have no idea how to pronounce that, unless all of the letters are silent, in which case it's... See what I did there? All right, so it's entitled Top Notch. He says, love this podcast. These guys go together like PB&J. Funny, entertaining, and educational. The fastest...
I'm allergic to peanut butter, so they kind of are an irritant for me.
I really wish you'd go have a big spoonful of that stuff right now. The fastest 90 minutes in podcasting, yes, it's that good. But wait, there's more. There is also Action Shooting Radio, Trevor also hosts, which is a great follow-up to the show. Subscribe to both, you'll be glad you did. Kind of like the gun dudes of the North.
So the other review on Action Shooting Radio's iTunes feed says everything, and then it says, Trevor's also on Slamfire Radio, so be sure to subscribe to that one, too.
That's funny.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, Well, thank you to those folks. It's very important that you do leave them because it helps get the show noticed.
Yeah, we do appreciate it, and we like to go and read them and make ourselves feel better about ourselves. Because
I was just going to say, we would do the show without you guys because it's really about us, and we just kind of like to hang out. But, you know, it's cool that you listen and stuff.
It really is. We really appreciate our listeners. You're all almost as cool as Owen.
Almost.
Almost.
And this, did I tell the story about Kristen who went into the gun store in Ontario to buy the gunpowder, and the guy behind the counter said,
who recommended this powder? And
yeah,
you said Trevor and blah, blah, blah. You guys
did I tell
were friends.
That story on the
yeah.
show yet?
I don't know if it was on the show, but you told the story to me, so that's cool.
Well, I was supposed to tell it on the show and give that guy his shout out. But yeah,
oh, well, give him a shout out then.
Well,
it's time for shout outs.
I know.
Hey, Trevor. Trevor, you got any shout outs?
You can shout out Jason for me while I look up.
To Mr. Philp, thanks for the birthday wish. You know, it's not even my birthday, but it's amazing that you would just send me a birthday wish anyway. Actually, no, that's Trevor's. That makes way more sense because it's Trevor's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Trevor.
Thanks, man.
And by tomorrow, of course, I mean today, because today's technically the 31st, even though it's not.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
There you go. Christine, not Kristen, my bad, I'm going to get in trouble. She was in a gun shop, and so she's looking at a 10/22, and she's getting some powder. So she says, I asked if he had any H.335, and told him how much I could get it for, and he asked me, who told you about H.335 for .223? It's really great stuff. And she said, oh, a friend I talked to on Facebook named Trevor Furlatte. And Buddy goes, are you serious? The host from Flamfire Radio? She goes, yep, the one and only. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. She was talking about me in a gun store, and it turns out that they listen. So
that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's Lewis, and the store is Erie Tracker in Port Colborne, Ontario. So, hey, Lewis, I'm sorry. Thanks for listening, Lewis. That's really cool. Small world, eh? I always get surprised when I hear that people listen.
Yeah.
So, and the irony is, Christine hadn't actually listened to the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she wasn't a listener, but he was. But so,
yeah.
Weird connection.
Now she's a listener. Yeah.
That's cool. So hi, yeah. Christine too.
Yeah. Shout out to her too.
Shout out to Christine.
She's funny. The stuff she comes up with. Yeah. I'll see you at the ATM, Christine. Okay, where are we at now?
Sign off. It's time to go home. It's time to leave. It's time to put this to bed.
Be sure to
time
join.
To quit.
All right, I'm trying.
Time to wrap it up, Trevor.
Okay.
Got to hurry up and finish this, would you?
Join the CSSA and the NFA. The NFA is doing another big gun giveaway. So you make donations in increments of 50, and they add your name into the draw for the this one's called Son of the Big Freaking Gun Giveaway. Last time was a 50 BMG. And this time it's a 338 Lapua. There's a very interesting story around the 50 BMG big freaking gun giveaway that you should look into. We don't have time to get into it, but go to the NFA Facebook page and check out what went down with that giveaway. Very interesting. Also, be sure to check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We've got a little thread over there, a little forum of our own. And like us on Facebook. We're at about 1,060 and counting, and helps get the show noticed again. If you'd like to listen to other great shows, you can check us out on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network.
They have a new app, by the way. You can go and download this app to your smartphone and listen anytime you want now. You don't actually have to go to the website anymore.
Oh, awesome.
It's pretty cool. It's a really good way to listen to outdoor stuff.
I will do that.
Yeah.
And for gun-specific shows, well, not necessarily. There's some prepping shows on there as well. Check out the Crusader Podcast Network. Tons of great material. And a bit of an international flavor, if you will. So until next time, take your kids trick-or-treating with a gun.
There you go. Dress up like Bonnie and Clyde.
There you go. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next week.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, time to get a gun.